Well, praise be to God for the Christmas season. I so appreciate Christmas time. This may or may not have been the exact time when our Lord was born. Probably was not. But nonetheless, the Christian community throughout the centuries have been celebrating our Savior's birth on December the 25th. And so for this, we praise God that we can gather together today. But did you know that 700 years before the birth of Jesus, Isaiah the prophet was given a divine directive, and that divine directive was to inform the people of Israel that a child was going to be born. Not just a child, a son was going to be born. And on that son's shoulders was going to be the responsibility for governing. This child was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. This we know. We're going to read one verse of Scripture only this morning, found in Isaiah chapter 9, and we hear this divine directive. Let us hear the word of God. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In years gone by, during Advent, the last 2 years, we have looked at the first two titles in this passage of Scripture. We looked at Wonderful Counselor and Mighty God. This morning, we're going to look at the third title, and that is Everlasting Father. Perhaps this is the most mysterious and most puzzling of the four titles that we receive when we look into the Word of God. Absolutely amazing. Now, the famous preacher, English preacher, Charles Spurgeon, once remarked, how complex is the person of our Lord Jesus Christ? Almost in the same breath, the prophet calls him a child, a son, a counselor, and a father. This is Jesus, Jesus the Christ. The more we look at this, the greater becomes the unfolding of this divine truth of our blessed and glorious Savior. One truth that needs to be kept in mind is we all know that there are three within the Holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And this passage is referring to the second person of the Holy Trinity, namely Jesus. God the Father is the first, Jesus is the second, and the Holy Spirit is the third of the Holy Trinity. Mind you, I don't think there is a human mind on earth that is able to fully comprehend how the Trinity works. The Trinity is all together, is one, and yet they are individual and have their tasks to undertake and to perform. The precise relationship of the Holy Trinity continues to be a mystery to most of us, at least to our finite minds. Yet this title, Everlasting Father, was ascribed to our Lord Jesus, and it's well supported throughout the rest of the Word of God. Certainly, those of us who know Jesus as Savior and as Lord know that he cares for us as a father, cares for us like a father would care for. That is, a spiritual-filled father would care for their children. And we know that Jesus indeed would do that for us. We are a child of God when we become believers in Jesus, but in ways that we don't fully understand, we are a brother or a sister to Jesus Christ. And yet, we looked upon him with the title of Everlasting Father. His name shall be called Everlasting Father. And John tells us, no one has ever seen God, but God the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. Now, I'm going to add a few words to that passage of Scripture just to help us in our understanding. No one has ever seen God the Father, but God the Son, the one and only, that is the only begotten Son, who is at the Father's side, has made him, that is the Father, known. This again is a praise God item. A long time ago, someone said, if you really want to know what the Father is like, look to Jesus. Everything that Jesus represents is of God the Father. If we want to know what the love of God is, look to Jesus. If we want to know what the compassion of the Father is, look to Jesus. If we want to know how he would act in our presence, look to Jesus. We need to keep our eyes focused on Jesus. And as we do, and the more we do, the more we will come to understand what God the Father is really like. If we really want to know the heart of God, all we need to do is to look to Jesus. If we want to know his compassion, we look to Jesus. If we really want to know about the fatherhood of God as being the everlasting Father, while looking to Jesus, we can also hearken our minds back to the Old Testament. And in the Old Testament, there were a number of people who, in fact, would give us something of the heart of God. For example, the patriarchs, the prophets, the priests, the poets, all of them had something of the heart of God, which they were passing on to all of those who heard them or who read what they had to say. In fact, in the book of Hebrews, we are reminded this. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. This is an amazing truth. Through whom he made the universe. The Holy Trinity decided at some point in eons past that they were going to have humans. And I believe they were going to create humans. And I believe with all my heart that once that decision was made, then God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in ways that I don't fully understand, but nonetheless, they were involved in creation and they formed the universe. And then they formed within that massive and great universe the world, the earth. And upon this earth is where humans exist and live. Other forms of life also live and exist. All by God's design. We are not here because of some sort of explosion that happened eons ago. We are here because of the creative power of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And we are reminded that through Jesus, he made the universe and everything that is within it. We are privileged. We are privileged because we live on an earth that it was specifically prepared and especially prepared by the Holy Trinity so that we could inhabit. All the conditions on earth are exactly right that is required for you and for me and for other forms of life to live. For this we praise God. So in knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, we are introduced to the very nature of him being and the character of him being our everlasting Father. Now remember what Jesus said. He who has seen me has seen the Father. This is an amazing truth. There are people who don't understand who Jesus really is. There are many people who are confined in their thinking that Jesus came as a baby, and some even feel he lived as a baby. And then we know that he grew into teenage and adulthood and finally came to fulfill the task which he was given to do. But he was more than just a man on earth. He was more than one who did miracles and preached and taught and all of those things. Jesus is our Savior. He is God in human form. He is the one who saves us from our own destination if we were going to go all on our own. But Jesus determined our destination, and it's true for every person who puts their trust in him. There are three observations or three revelations of God the Father, which Jesus the Son came to interpret to us as humans. Three words, if we can keep it in mind: life, light, and love. Life, light, and love. So Jesus, then, as everlasting Father, is the Father of eternal life. At the beginning of John's Gospel, we're reminded of the following truth. In the beginning was the Word. Now, that word is capitalized, so it's referring to Jesus, the Logos. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus was God. He, Jesus, was with God in the beginning. And then we read a little bit further on that in him was life. Did you know that Jesus' entire ministry was circled around him giving us eternal life? 45 times in the New Testament, this eternal life is spoken of as a gift, God's gift, to all who put their trust in Jesus. Jesus stood among men and announced, "I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Now, here's the truth. When we put our trust in Jesus, we receive his gift of eternal life. And you notice it says, and that they may have it more abundantly. Believers, you and me, we have it more abundantly. Unbelievers do not have this eternal life. They are working toward it. They're going in the wrong direction. They think things need to be done according to the way they want them done. They don't give a hoot about what the Scripture says and about what God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit direct. But believers are different. Believers who put their trust in Jesus, we know that they are giving us the direction that we need in order to live our life, in order for you and for me to have eternal life. And keep in mind, Jesus says, I have come to give them life and that they may have it more abundantly. Praise be to God, we have this abundant life. When Jesus was talking about life, he, of course, was talking about eternal life. He said, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. We are secure in Jesus. Jesus went on to say, and further, they're in the Father's hand, and no one can snatch them out of the Father's hand. Praise be to God. If you know Jesus as Savior, if you've given your life and your heart to him, your heart, mind, soul, and spirit, you've given all of this to Jesus, then you belong to him. No one and nothing is going to snatch you out of their hands. They have control of you. Now, mind you, we may slip away every now and then. The old-timers used to say we would backslide a bit. We don't use that term too often today. But you and I need to be very cautious about backsliding. We don't want to do that. We want to slide right into the arms of Jesus. We want to listen to Father God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to give us the direction as to what we need to do day by day. We remember that Jesus came for a purpose. He came to give us eternal life. And he came to a world that is dead in trespasses and sins. The whole world is dead in trespasses and sins. If no one had ever given their life to Jesus, the whole world, all ages past and ages future, would be dead in trespasses and sin and end up in a life of eternal life in hell, separated from God. The world was dead in trespasses and sin. You and I were dead in trespasses and sin until we gave our life to Jesus. And once we accepted him as our Savior and Lord, we have that gift of eternal life. Yes, there are three observations or three revelations of Jesus as our eternal Father. He's the Father of eternal life. He's the Father of eternal light. What did God's Holy Spirit reveal to John for us? In him was life, and that life was the light of men. And then later, we read the words of Jesus. He said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. The light of life. That's our Savior's life in you and in me. As the eternal light, Jesus revealed and reveals every aspect of the holiness, of the righteousness, and the justice of God the Father. And at the same time, as the eternal light, he exposed and exposes every aspect of wickedness, lawlessness, and sinfulness of humans. When we think about it, people of all ages and demons of every description have done their best to extinguish this light, but they have failed, and they are going to fail. But I don't know about you, but I see things going on around about us today, even in terms of some actions by governments, our government included. They've passed certain things that are destroying an institution of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, you know that God has given us this eternal life. God created humans, and he also, God in doing this, created the human family. We know the human family is a father and a mother and sons and daughters. This is the human family. And Satan, who is the ruler of this world, the prince of the power of the air, the ruler of this world, as we discover in John 12:31, he's only a ruler for a period of time. His time is limited. But he's doing everything possible to destroy what was given to this world by God. What was given? The human family. The human family is created by God, is sacred to God, is important to God, and yet people throughout the world have been doing their part in order to destroy the human family, destroy what God has set up. And this ought to be very alarming for us. Any kind of government action, any kind of dictate that says that a human family is not mother and father, male and female, and children is wrong. It's against the word of God. And you and I need to be aware that Satan and his demons are working in every aspect of life in order to take our eyes off of God. Of course, the other thing, I've already alluded to it, is the whole aspect of evolution. People are convinced that we evolved from something simple to something complex over many years. And we know that's not true. We were created complex. If anything, we have devolved, not evolved, from what God had created to begin with. And so this tool is what Satan is using to get throughout the whole world so that people will take their focus off of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. People will take their focus off of what the human family really is meant to be. This is a deception. It's a grand deception. It's a clever deception. And yet we are living it even in this age and this life. This is a Communion Sunday. And we will recall the darkness and the gloom of what happened at Calvary when Jesus said, and then the light came on, when Jesus says, "It is finished." And we know what was finished. The job he came to do was completed. That job was not just to teach and preach and show by example. His job was to die on the cross to pay for your sin and to pay for mine. Praise be to God that we know this is what he's done. And that's when that eternal light came on, when Jesus says, "It is finished, it's over, I've done what I was to do." The Son of Righteousness came with healing in his wings. And dear John, and John in the first letter said, "God is light, in him there is no darkness at all." There's no darkness in God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Many years ago, and when I'm not exactly sure how long ago it was, I always say I was around age 10. I think I was. My mother and dad took us as a family to Florida. And when we went there, en route, I believe it was in Kentucky, we went to some caves. I've forgotten the name of the caves, but we went into the caves. And we were in short sleeves and short pants at the time, and it was very warm outside, around 80 degrees. And we descended into the cave, and as we went down further, there were two things that I remember about that experience. Number one was that it was 50 degrees, 10 degrees Celsius, and they told us that in winter or summer, spring or fall, it always remained at 50 degrees, at 10 degrees. Now, we were a little uncomfortable being in our shorts at the time and short sleeves, but I remember it was amazed me that this cave would stay at that temperature the entire year long. That struck me. But the second thing that struck me was the guide had his hand on a switch. Now, there had been lights all the way down, and where we were, it was well lit. But the guide said, "Now I want you to experience complete darkness, absolute darkness." And then he flicked off the switch, and it was black. You literally could not see anything. You've heard the expression, "I couldn't see the hand in front of my face." I didn't try that because I was holding on to someone else at that point. But it was absolutely pitch dark. It was an eerie feeling. Then the lights came on. And what a difference it made. It cheered us up. It was wonderful. It's like on a dark day, when the sun comes out, we are much happier people. But it's a praise God item. And I always remember that. I remember that complete darkness. And remember that people who are going to hell are going to be in darkness, and they're going to be separated from the light, the eternal light in Jesus Christ. Jesus is that light. He's our everlasting Father, and he demonstrates the life and the light, and also he demonstrates as the Father of eternal love. We're all familiar with the words of the Holy Spirit through John. You know these words so well, for God so loved the world. Just think about it for a moment. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, have eternal life with him. God created the universe and everything in it, created the earth, especially for people to live in. And God so loved the world and the people of the world that he decided that Jesus was going to come and Jesus was going to make it possible for every believer in him to spend all eternity with him. Do you suppose there are any better words that we could find in all of Scripture to tell us about the heart of God, to share with us the heart of God? For God so loved the world, he loved the people of the world, he loved you and me, that Jesus came to pay that price so that we can spend all eternity with him. And in the book of Hebrews, we read this: with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Not eternal redemption for him, but eternal redemption for you and for me. On this Communion Sunday, it's great that we can reflect upon the eternal life, the eternal light, and the eternal love of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, this is all exemplified in our blessed Savior's death, burial, and resurrection, and, of course, in what I believe to be his imminent return. You and I need to live our life as though he's going to come tomorrow. There are days that I have wished, prayed, that Jesus would come today. He hasn't come yet today. He may come before the day is out. But let me remind all of us, if he comes when that trumpet blows, every true believer will be caught up to be with him instantaneously, absolutely marvelous, hard to comprehend, hard to believe. But since we know that nothing is impossible with God, we know that this is possible, and the Scripture predicts it and tells us that it's going to happen. And I believe world conditions are such, even now, that the coming of Jesus is so near, we can almost feel the brush of angel wings. We are looking forward to that time. Remember, his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, a Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Our Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thank you that we've been able to gather today to worship you. Thank you that you have filled each individual, each believer, and this sanctuary with your Holy Spirit. Thank you that every time we worship, you draw us closer to you. Every time we worship, we come to understand even more about who Jesus is and what he's done for us, what he's doing for us, and what he will do for us. We give all praise, honor, and glory in our Savior's name. Amen.